Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
And Aaron Rupar joins us here on The Lake Show. I'm always happy to have him here on the show. Aaron, I just want to thank you for being a part of the show here, man, in 2024, and I look forward to chatting with you in 2025 as well. We've leaned on you for political analysis, as well as we've also shared just the highs and lows of Timberwolves basketball, so I appreciate you, my man.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, Henry. Thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about 30 minutes ago was just me remembering President Jimmy Carter, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 100. Let's start there. I want to ask you, how is he remembered in your eyes?
You know, I've been thinking about this in the context of President Biden leaving office in under a month now, and I think there are some interesting parallels there where, you know, Carter won the presidency from Ford, but, you know, Ford was kind of tainted with pardoning Richard Nixon and kind of the stench of the Watergate corruption. And Carter, you know, brought a sense of, you know, ethics and morality to the Oval Office that, you know, that really hadn't been there in a while. I mean, even going back through the LBJ years and, you know, as was kind of the case with Biden following up on Trump. And then, you know, the Carter presidency was really defined by bad inflation during that time, kind of a stagnant economy. I think the Biden economy, if anything, has outperformed the Carter economy. But in both cases, their economic conditions that played a role in them losing. And then Carter's foreign policy as well, despite having, you know, some major successes, such as a peace agreement between Israel and Egypt. You know, there was a sense with the crisis in Iran that he wasn't in control of events or American hostages there. And I think there were some similar things going on with President Biden with the, you know, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the Afghanistan pullout. So, you know, I think there's some kind of interesting parallels that are kind of poignant here as we prepare for Biden to leave office. And I think in some ways, you know, his presidency will be remembered in a manner similar to how Jimmy Carter's is remembered.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a great analysis by you in terms of how you view both. And, you know, to me, one of the things that I had mentioned when we got into the topic of Jimmy Carter is just, you know, my entire life, I know he's, you know, a former president and everything, but he never, to me, came across as like that politician type of person. I've always thought of him as the humanitarian and the good person that he was. I think that that's how I'm going to look at him and symbolize what he meant as a person.
Yeah, and you know, it's been really interesting. You know, obviously for my beats, I watch a lot of right-wing TV, and just the respect with which even Republicans talk about Jimmy Carter has been kind of noticeable to me, where, you know, even kind of, you know, your most hardcore Trump-supporting Republicans, you know, broadly have good things to say about President Carter as a person, the type of life he lived, you know, both as president, but then especially after he was president. And so, you know, I think in an age where we're obviously very polarized and, you know, there are too many things that people on both sides of the aisle can agree upon, you know, the respect with which Republicans across the spectrum or politicians across the spectrum are talking about Jimmy Carter, I think, speaks to his character.
Absolutely. We're talking to Aaron Rupar from the Public Notice Newsletter here via the John Shuster Coal Banker Hotline on the Lakeshore News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's get to some of the people right now that are hotly being talked about in the news. Elon Musk battling with MAGA supporters over the H-1B visa program. All right, so for the people out there listening that have heard the scuttlebutt from this over the weekend, to summarize, just go ahead and summarize for everyone that hasn't been following what the differences in views are from both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically a fight over whether any immigration is good, you know, with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy taking the view that these, you know, the H-1B visas are broadly used for highly educated engineers, you know, people who have kind of very specialized skills. And both of them have been, you know, outspoken supporters of the program, with Elon Musk even claiming that he received an H-1B visa to work legally in the U.S. That's kind of a subject of dispute. I don't think that's been verified, but, you know, he even kind of touts it as something that helped him work legally here in the U.S. And then you had Laura Loomer, who, you know, is a Trump confidant, traveled with him during the campaign, you know, kind of a far right influencer, who took the opposite view and called Vivek and Elon out on X as backing a policy that's not, you know, consistent with Trump's views on immigration. And then it kind of escalated where Vivek on X, you know, actually had some comments that if they were applied to other ethnic groups would be viewed as racist, where he's talking about how American culture is kind of decadent and, you know, we don't really have the work ethic to produce these types of engineers that are needed in the tech sector. And so, you know, it kind of turned into this intra mega fight over, you know, to what degree any immigration is good. Trump, after a number of days of not weighing in on this, actually weighed in on Elon's side of things, despite the fact that throughout his previous political career, he's spoken out against the H-1B visa. So there's been some speculation that maybe that's kind of a concession to Elon, that he's changed his view on this. And of course, Elon, you know, being the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, has worked with these engineers and views them as being kind of indispensable to his businesses. So, yes, it's kind of interesting to see this fight erupt before, you know, Trump has even been sworn in. But I think Laura Loomer saw this as an opportunity to, you know, kind of score some points against a rising faction within the Trump coalition, which is, you know, the tech, this billionaire kind of tech bro, you know, this coalition that's led by Elon and Vivek.
I think that one of the things, Aaron, that I'm interested in, it's just interesting watching it, is I'm curious about whether we all anticipate a lot of future infighting. You know what I'm saying? Like with Loomer making comments, and I'm not saying that she wields any sort of power, but she's a, you know, she's a figure. I know that Bannon, you know, Steve Bannon has been weighing in and saying things. And of course, Elon's going to say a lot. This is not, you know, if we're talking about the country being in a better place and we're moving forward, and we're going to really be tasked with making America great, right? Like, I don't think that this helps in any way, shape, or form. And I just kind of wonder if this is kind of the future of what we're going to be looking at over the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it's worth kind of reflecting on how the Trump coalition has become more complex, where, you know, of course, if you think back 8 years, you know, one of Trump's big things when he campaigned the first time was kind of railing against China. Elon, you know, who now is a key part of Trump's leadership team, does a lot of business with China. You know, Trump at one point in time backed a TikTok ban. Now he's walked that back. And so, you know, I think it just speaks to kind of the populist wing of the party. You mentioned Bannon, and, you know, Bannon and Loomer are kind of aligned here on the visa issue. But, you know, their interests and especially their views on foreign policy are not really in alignment with Elon and Vivek. So, I do think that it's inevitable that we are going to see some disagreements. And I think, you know, we're also going to see this. I know you wanted to talk about Mike Johnson and kind of the speakership fight, which we're going to have on Friday, the vote for the next Speaker of the House. And I think we're kind of seeing that, too, where you have a far right wing of the Republican Party who is basically against any sort of added federal spending, which results in a situation where Republicans need Democratic votes to get to a majority in the House. And I think that has been one of the lessons, actually, of this transition period, that, you know, I think there was kind of the sense right after the election that Trump was going to be kind of all powerful. And, you know, he had this mandate and he was going to have a trifecta and all this power. But I think we're seeing that it's a little more fractious than that. It's going to be kind of hard to keep everybody on side, especially with such a narrow majority in the House.
Yeah, and let's talk about that for a second. He did endorse Mike Johnson for re-election. What were your kind of thoughts on him coming out publicly and doing that?
I think, you know, clearly there's been some reporting that Trump isn't loving the job that Mike Johnson has done, where, you know, the spending bill that Trump ultimately played a role in scuttling, you know, made some concessions to Democrats, and Trump didn't get his desired lift of the debt ceiling, which sets up a fight where probably more concessions will be made to Democrats early next year. But, you know, I think there's really just isn't a better option. You know, Johnson has been doing the job now for about a year, and, you know, he hasn't been super successful in implementing the Trump agenda, but, you know, I do think he played a role in helping Trump get elected. And, you know, he brought a little more order to the caucus than was the case under Kevin McCarthy. And I just don't think there's another option out there that could get to the 218 votes needed to be elected as speaker. And so, you know, I think Trump kind of took a lay of the land and realized that unless he wants to have this really kind of dysfunctional picture of Republicans not even being able to elect a House speaker right away, you know, even before his inauguration, his best bet was just to back Mike Johnson. And even then, you know, I think we're going to see there's already at least one or two House Republicans who have said they're not going to support Johnson. You know, if there's even one or two beyond that, then we're at a situation where either Johnson is going to need Democratic votes or we're going to be back into a very chaotic situation that could actually delay the certification of the electoral count votes on January 6th.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
You know, one of the things that's in the news, too, is that Trump, he has lost his appeal in the E. Jean Carroll case. You know, one of the things that I'm concerned about and I'm worried about is because people have said this for quite some time and we'll see how things play out, but that he is going to attack people, you know, if elevated and back in office as the president and he is a president elect, that he is going to go after people. And do you think that this is one of those situations where after him losing this appeal, and I think this can get appealed to the Supreme Court. It can be, right?
Yeah, I can. You know, his spokespeople have already talked about appealing it beyond this Court of Appeals, which had three judges that were all appointed by Democrats. And, you know, the ruling in question here was for $5 million, which was the smaller of the two sums that Trump has been ordered to pay E. Jean Carroll for defaming her, the large one being something like $83 million, I think it was.
Yep.
And the reason that that second amount was so large was because there was a thought that the figure had to be high to stop Trump from continuously defaming E. Jean Carroll. But even just last week, you know, he was retweeting posts on Truth Social calling her a liar and, you know, kind of painting her as a woman who lied about a sexual assault allegation. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we've seen that there's really no sum of money that is going to stop Trump at this point. And, you know, this is probably about as close to a form of accountability as we're going to have for any of the criminality that Trump has engaged in over the years. But given the composition of this appeals court, I wasn't surprised that the result was what it was. But, you know, like I said, it seems like Trump is going to fight this as far as he can because, you know, this part of the election was kind of a referendum on whether people were especially bothered by Trump's mistreatment of women. And, you know, I guess the result indicates that it wasn't sufficiently bothersome to prevent him from being elected with the plurality of the vote.
Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you diving into all these various different topics. I look forward to us chatting more. I guess... At the end of this, I do want to ask you one Timberwolves question, and that will be if anything that you could do, because you are a big time Timberwolves supporter, the same way that I am. You invest in the team the same way that I invest in the team. We both have tickets and stuff like that, whatever. What is the one thing that you want to see this team be able to do as we turn the page on the year?
You know, I think that the elephant in the room is Jaden McDaniels and just kind of figuring out a way to, you know, they struggle so much offensively when he's on the floor. And, you know, I don't know if that's more of, you know, kind of putting him in more of like a Josh Okogie-like role where he's doing more screening and kind of attacking the rim rather than being in the corner and shooting. But, you know, the game last night actually made me kind of more sympathetic to the plight of Chris Finch, just in that if you make a move with the starting lineup, then you're maybe not getting to these bench units that have been so successful for them. So I'm kind of understanding the dilemma that he faces, and that's why, you know, I'm not sure that making a change in the starting lineup it would really fix things, but I think they got to figure out a way to get better offense out of that first group, and I think Jaden is the one that's really been the biggest culprit for their struggles to score early in games.
Yeah, man, I just want to see this team evolve and get a little bit better, whatever it's going to take. I do think that they're starting to look a little bit better, but by the same token, we're far from where I expected us to be, but we'll see how the rest of this thing shakes out, man. Hey, I appreciate the time, and let's chat in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, Happy New Year again.
All right, take care. That's Aaron Rupar from Public Notice joining us here on The Lake Show. All right, we will take a break. We will come back, and it'll be one of our final Bite of the Nights from the 2024 year. Bite of the Night, that's next year on The Lake Show.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.